Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating, a very special episode because we are recording live from Oracle Park.
I can't take you seriously.
In San Francisco. We're on a little bit of a time constraint today, so Vanessa and I are going to be bulldozing through this episode. We've got a fun one. We've got Annalise here in the stadium with us. We also have the men from How Men Think. Both Dimitri and Rick are going to come on. And Rick actually has a 13-year-old son who's in eighth grade who I want to get to. I want to ask
He's
questions about him.
He's got serious swag.
He's a good-looking young man. I want to ask him what it's like to date as an eighth grader because obviously we're all, as co-hosts, pretty removed from eighth grade. I just think it'd be fun to see maybe how it's changed. We can compare and contrast how it was for us.
I think it's a good idea.
All those decades ago. But first things first, Vanessa, how are you?
I'm good. So we literally just landed, came straight to the stadium. So we're at Oracle Park right now. It's my second time in San Francisco. I've been to a few baseball games before when Montreal had the Expos. We're trying to get them back real hard.
Didn't they go to
Washington?
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah. So.
But now they're the Capitals.
So we're trying to, I mean, Expos don't exist anymore. So we're really trying hard to get them back to Montreal. So I brought my baseball cap. Hopefully I won't get any popcorn thrown at me today. But very excited to be here. I haven't seen you in a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been since Tahoe.
Well, you did a lone solo episode 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep.
And you were at a wedding this past weekend.
I was at two weddings this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of, when's the last time you went to a wedding?
Well,
I mean, we know that answer.
Yeah, pretty recently.
I feel like after I went to those weddings, maybe it's because we were on the show and we have that, we're constantly in the spotlight. I just felt like, I think the day I get married, I just want to have a barbecue. I'm going to invite people to a barbecue in my backyard. Whoever shows up, and they'll have no idea this is my actual wedding day.
Yeah.
And then that'll be it. Like, no one has to spend money on their hair. No one has to spend money on buying a dress.
I've had a similar thought to that, actually, but it would be a beach thing. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's a good way to. But what about the weddings gave you that idea?
I don't know. I think it was just, it's a lot, you know? It's a lot of planning and preparation, and then even for the guests going. Watch me have the most elaborate wedding after I say this.
Well, you are kind of like,
oh, God. Here comes an insult.
No, it's not an insult. You, how do I say this?
Say it.
You like nice things.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I know. It looks like I like nice things, but
You like nice clothes and you like to do your hair and wear jewelry. Do you not?
Not really. The only jewelry I'm wearing right now is my ring that my grandmother gave me.
Looking through your Instagram, I see you as like a high class.
Listen, I like dressing up. Absolutely.
Like kind of bougie.
I know. I'm so not bougie.
I didn't want to say
bougie. Oh, you do not know me.
But like someone that likes to like celebrate grandly. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, if we're comparing you to me, yes.
But no. We're not comparing anything.
I mean, I don't live in a van. I live in a very nice part of the city.
I feel like you, especially with you being like as in like aware of your own emotions as you are, I feel like it's going to be hard for you not to want to have a big wedding. Because
I don't know. I mean, listen, I come from an Italian background, and the weddings that we do, the baptisms, the confirmations, like everything is always so big, yeah. And we love to celebrate. And for me, it's like I want to celebrate with the people that I see on a daily basis, and that's the people that I basically see every Sunday, which is my family and my closest friends. So I don't know, this is just something that went through my head because it was a lot. That day was two weddings, and then the next day
two weddings in the same day.
Yes, and it was an hour away. They were an hour away from each other.
How did that end up working out? So one was a morning wedding and one was an afternoon.
They were both an afternoon wedding, but my boyfriend came with me to the first one, which was my close friend, and then I went to his friend's reception. So I got to meet all the rest of his friends, which was crazy because I think I was talking about it with Annalise, who's here. Hi, girl.
Which we'll get to Annalise.
Okay,
later.
So yeah. She was like, I didn't know that you and Josh were dating for a couple of months. I think people think that we've been dating for longer than. Well, how long is Christmas? December, January, February, March, April, May, June.
9 months.
July. Oh, wow, you're good.
Thanks.
Yeah, 9 months. No idea why I just said that. Oh, yeah. So I met the rest of his friends at the wedding.
Right.
So for me, I think it's.
So let me ask you this. Being with your boyfriend, surrounded by love and weddings and all these things that make you feel all these things.
Yes.
How does that. Does it put things into perspective for you at all? Like, does it make you want to maybe expedite the process a little bit or get you more excited for marriage potentially with Josh?
I mean, listen, you know me. I've always wanted to get married. I've always wanted to have kids. And I think for the longest time, every time I started dating someone, I thought, oh, this is the person for me. Because in my romantic head, I thought, if I'm dating him, for sure he's going to be the person I'm going to end up with. But with Josh, it's such a different feeling. It's a sense of like, I feel at home with him. And yeah, when we're at the wedding together, I'm like, I can't wait for the day where I'm walking down the aisle and I just want to see his face when the first time he sees me. And those thoughts, they go through my mind. And a couple of days later, he looked at me when we woke up. And he's like, I'm going to marry you.
That's
and I'm like,
really
oh,
cute.
My God, I'm going to cry.
Can I ask a favor of you?
Yeah.
When you get married, will you invite me to your wedding and not invite Jared?
No.
That's the favor that I'm asking of you right now.
Like I said, it's going to be a small wedding, so maybe no one's getting an invite. So it'll just be Josh and I.
There you go. If you're listening to this, I'm going to Vanessa's wedding, and Jared is not.
You're such a shit disturber.
The challenging thing for me is when I get married, who am I going to invite?
Me, duh.
Because I have to continue the trend of one person can come, one person
can't
come.
So I guess it's going to go back to me not coming.
I mean, as the...
Whatever. I always feel like the one man that's out of the equation.
I'm going to have a wedding and you're going to be the only person in attendance.
I love it. Yeah. Can I, what's it called? Officiate?
You can officiate. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, cool. So you had the weddings. You are incredibly happy in your relationship.
Very happy. But now, enough about me, Dean. So we just watched the last episode of this week's episode on Tuesday.
Well, so just for the listener's sake, we're recording this episode the Thursday before the week after I dumped Kaylin. So we have not seen this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. But it has been teased that I returned back to Paradise this week. But again, we have not seen the episode, so we don't know exactly what happens. And I can't really talk much about it. Well, let me just tell you this. I guess between the time of me leaving and the time of me being teased coming back, I think I can tell you what I did. I landed in San Diego. I drove all the way to the Grand Canyon. I sat there for a couple hours, thought about things, listened to some music, listened to some lectures, read a book, drove down to Phoenix, called one of the producers and said, hey, I want to come back to the beach. What do you think?
This is after how many days after you left Paradise?
This was basically the same day. I think I landed in San Diego and I called them and I was like,
dude,
hey guys, I'm sad.
You left and you had immediate regrets?
So this is the in-between time between, obviously, like, I think that's kind of appropriate, right? Because I left on the show and I come back next week. And so, yeah, this is the in-between time. And so, yeah, so I landed and I was really upset. And so I called them. We figured it out. I don't think I can get too much into the nitty gritty about that right now. But drove to the Grand Canyon, thought about things, called them. They decided they would let me come back. And so that's what you're going to see next week is me coming back, which will be fun for us to watch, I think. I don't really know how it's going to go, but my hopes are high, and it should be at least entertaining, if nothing else. But obviously next week, after that all happens, we can talk about it in a little bit more depth. But
yes, because I have so many questions. I actually wrote a draft.
I was just looking at your phone.
I wrote a list of questions. Because it's so upsetting to see, and I'm such a fan of Dean, and you know this.
Yeah.
So it's so upsetting to see the self-doubt that you have about yourself and how you think someone else deserves more happiness. And I like how Kaylin puts you in your spot every now and then, and she's like, why are you making that decision for me? So I do want to get into this, but I guess we'll talk about it next week when you do reappear. Hopefully she'll take you back.
I do want to, I'll touch on that really quick, and then we can move on to the next segment.
Okay.
I think that this self-doubt is more of, not that I don't think I have enough to offer people, but just that I'm not willing to offer the things that they want to receive. You know what I mean?
Why is that?
Just because I just am in a mode in my life right now where I want to focus on myself and be selfish, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
But I would love to touch more on that next week when we talk about that, when we're able to talk about that in more depth. Right?
Perfect. Yep. Let's
do that. So next up, we are going to speak with a fellow Bachelor contestant, and she's going to update us on her life because she's been dating. And it's getting pretty serious.
Oh, can we talk about it?
But no.
Vanessa, no, we can't.
Wait.
We can't.
Yes, we can talk about it. But before we talk about it, Tori, the producer, is looking at me with a stank face like we can't talk about it. 100% we can talk about it, and we're going to talk about it. Before we do that, though, we are going to take one quick break and then really dive into it with Annalise. Okay, we're back. So, Annalise.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And you look great. You just cut your hair. I love it. I love the new look.
I did a little chop. I felt like I needed a new do.
Looking hot.
Thanks.
Oh, my voice is
crap. Oh, what's going on, Dean?
I took a sip.
Going through puberty.
You're not. Let's go ahead and edit that part out if we could.
No, please keep that part.
All right, Annalise, fill us in. Last time we talked to you, we were in Tahoe. That was like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Something like that.
Yeah. Is it that short? Okay.
Maybe it felt a little like longer ago. Maybe six weeks ago. Anyways, fill us in. What's going on in your life?
Life has been good. Are we really talking about my dating life?
100%. This is a dating podcast, young lady.
Yes, I have been dating somebody.
Tell us about it. What's his
Listen, Dean loves getting, and he's really good at getting information out of people. So just warning you, whatever you feel like sharing, you can definitely share.
I'm going to share like the bare minimum.
Great, we can't
because
wait.
Because I'm not ready to dive in completely with details.
We'll respect that.
But yeah, I met somebody and he's great. And I feel like it's the first time maybe ever that I'm like, wow, I'm worthy of this kind of relationship. And it feels... Yeah, I don't know if maybe I thought in the past that like I deserve somebody this great and he's really amazing. Aww.
How did you guys meet?
We met at a time. It's a very much like when you least expect it situation.
It's always the best.
It was right after doing Paradise and I was done with men for a bit. I was like, I'm going to just take a break from dating. I'm not going to date until maybe the show's done airing and then, you know, slowly get back into things. I had a couple of people that wanted to set me up with, you know, friends of the family or whatever. And I'm like, okay, sure. But not for a while. Cause I'm just not ready. And I'm taking a break. And then I went out to be a wing woman basically for a friend of mine. And she started talking to these guys and then we became friends with them and then just have hung out pretty much every day since.
Did it work out for your friend?
No, I mean, that was like, she unfortunately didn't. Well, she actually did meet somebody, but not that weekend. Gotcha. So yeah, things are good.
And okay, great. So that was how long? Like 6 weeks ago-ish?
We're cusping on two months.
2 months. Heck yeah. That's great. It's always the most interesting time, too, because like you're trying to get to know someone. You're trying to figure out what they like, what they dislike.
It was also very weird because the show started airing like 2 weeks maybe after we...
So how did you approach that with him? Because I'm sure he knew that you were from the Bachelor franchise.
He didn't because he's so far removed from social media and all that sort of stuff. So
that's a great sign.
Yeah. So I just said it like on the second time we hung out one-on-one. I was like, I got to be honest with you.
Did he know what it was? Did he know what the Bachelor was?
I'm trying to remember if he did.
Because my boyfriend still has so many questions. He has no idea what Paradise is. He's like, oh, she's on it. Why was she on it? Did she not find love? And I'm like, yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely
thing.
How the conversation was as well. But, yeah, I think he was sort of aware of the show but doesn't know anything about it.
So, and then how was it watching the show when you were on it with him?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh. Did you disallow him? Like, you just said you're not watching it or you
no,
just didn't
I
watch
actually,
it together?
I have a really, really hard time watching myself back on it. So I wasn't going to watch it. And then when I found out that I was going to the reunion, I just binge watched every episode.
How did you feel about your parts on the show?
So I actually I had seen my parts just because I have friends on like the East Coast who would send me clips because I'd have panic attacks, like minor ones before, you know, knowing like, okay, tonight's the night that this part airs. So they would send me my little clips and so I got to see that in real time basically.
Well, can we talk about Paradise for a second?
Yeah,
I know it's hard to put yourself back into that situation, especially now that you're, you know, in a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with the whole Chris Bukowski thing?
So that was frustrating to watch back, and I don't like, it's always hard because I don't know exactly what I can say and not
just say whatever you're feeling.
He was really pursuing me that first week and they didn't really show our relationship at all. And I think it's frustrating watching it back and seeing it be shown as so one-sided because it really wasn't. And he really, I think, struggled with that decision that night. Mm-hmm. Christina sort of like came and had a conversation with him. And I think, I don't know what was going through his head, but I think he was probably thinking, oh, maybe Annalise is more serious. And so, I don't want to be like committing myself to her for the rest of this time. But I just wish he would have had that conversation with me because if he would have realized I wasn't there yet.
Do you have any resentment towards Christina for coming in and saying that?
I mean, a little bit. I feel like whatever she said to Chris was the same thing she said to Blake when
I was
hitting
it's
off
the exact
with
same
Caitlin.
Situation. Basically.
I feel like it was the exact same. And, yeah, so I mean,
But the thing is everything happens for a reason, and I am a firm believer on that. And I think that, yes, I was disappointed in the moment because I felt really gypped of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Watching it back, though, I'm like, my person definitely never showed up on the beach. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, it is what it is. I think I sort of went back this time thinking, oh, I'm excited to make more friends and be still open to the possibility of love because it sort of worked for me. The year before, yeah. you know? So I was hopeful, but I just felt gypped more than anything.
Both comparing season to season,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to because you were there for a shorter amount of time this second time around, but also it's easier to kind of remove yourself because you got less attached to someone, right? So would you say that like the first time was better or the second time was better in your experience?
So, and this is another part of just editing that gets frustrating is I really, really loved how I handled Paradise this year. I felt like I went in, I was open, I talked to everyone, which wasn't really shown, but I did, I felt like there weren't a ton of options for me, and I actually did have a connection with Chris, and so it was just an easy, natural fit to just spend my time with him, but I still was happy with how I handled everything. Maybe some things I would have done slightly different, but I did feel like I did Paradise the way I wanted to do Paradise this year, even though it was only a very short amount of time.
And to your point, like you said earlier, it's hard to look back and regret anything because you're happy now, right? So it's like everything happened for a reason, obviously.
It's a good place to be right now because I feel like my perspective on all of it is just so different, mm-hmm. and I'm really grateful that I met somebody who like doesn't care that I was on a dating show and, you know, that I put myself in this crazy world, you know?
I think that's a classic example of, like you said, it's so cliche, but I really do believe that everything happens for a reason. Like, before I went on the show, I fell in love with a guy, and I thought I was never going to find love again, and I thought it was the end of the world for me. And then, fast forward, 3 years later, I'm on the show, and I get engaged, and I was at a high. And then the relationship ends, and again, you're back at a low, and you whenever you're at that point in your life, you think you're never going to find the person that you're meant to be with. And I remember like one episode I did, my solo episode was Girl Talk, and Amy was like, you know, I think you have to stop trying. I think you have to stop wanting it so much. And it's so true. I kind of just said, you know what, it'll happen when it happens. And then it happens in a way that I really never thought I was going to date someone that slid into my DMs on Instagram. Hmm. And
I liked your caption on your aspect. Yeah. You said, thanks for sliding in my DMs. That was
and
funny.
That's exactly how it happened. So, Amy, thank you for the advice.
What? I couldn't hear you. What?
I said, Amy, thank you for the advice.
Oh, yes. I can give great advice. Those who cannot do, teach. I cannot put into practice anything I do, but I can give people
the best advice.
The best advice. I'm like, chill. You got this. Everything's fine. Just let it come to you. The universe will take care of it.
Yeah. In the moment, totally that's not fine. What you want to hear, though. In the moment, you want to hear, like.
Meanwhile, Amy is not chill and not.
I have cried. I'm not chill, and I have cried the last 12 days in a row. Oh. It's like, I cannot take my own advice. But I'm working on
nice.
It.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. Anyways,
work in progress.
Annalise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. We're happy that you're happy.
And let me say, stunning couple.
Stunning.
Yeah, he's
couple.
Very good looking.
We did.
Yeah, you guys have both met
we
him.
Did. Yeah. We did get to see them together in their natural habitat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great to see, and I'm say this lovingly. I hope we never see you on another Bachelor show again, because I hope this is a relationship to end all relationships.
God, I
for
hope
you.
So too.
But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the Bachelor in Paradise reunion show in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Okay, cool. So for the listeners out there, we have two more guests from iHeartRadio's hit new podcast, How Men Think. We have two of the co-hosts, Dimitri and Rick, and they are going to tell us, well, I guess we're just going to dive into a little bit with them. But before we do that, we are going to take one quick break and then jump right into it with them. Okay, so we are back with two of the co-hosts of the four hosts.
There's five total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. So we got a full car.
We have 40% of How Men Think here with us. We have some Facebook questions. Both of these gentlemen are married, and so it'll be nice to have a male's married perspective on these questions.
And you're Greek.
I'm
so
Greek.
I feel like we have the same mentality, same kind of way of thinking when it comes to family and life and relationships.
Rick, and you're white, and I'm white. So I think that we're going to see eye to eye on this.
Yeah. You both have blue eyes.
It's a match made in heaven.
So we're going to get a lot of perspective
on this.
It's
going to be a 50-50.
Okay, guys, before we start, do you want to tell us about your podcast real quick? Just so we have like a good idea of who we're talking to.
Listen, I mean, one of the biggest questions out there is from women, especially, is what men are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They always, you know, you get together and you think, well, listen, this is what this guy did. This is what he said. And this is, this is how we reacted to something. How? What was he thinking? And it's like, stop asking your girlfriends and just ask a guy. So that's what we are. We're five guys on the How Men Think podcast that are willing to tell you exactly how guys are thinking. We don't always agree because guys think different things. But we're willing to tell you what you want to know.
Well, and I think the other thing about our show is we're men at different ages, stages of our lives. Yeah. So, like, I have two kids. Dimitri has four kids. Brooks has zero kids.
He's just got married.
Yeah, Brooks did 2 years ago.
So it's hosted by Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, for people listening that may not know.
Gavin is hilarious.
Gavin is hysterical. He's fantastic. But he's a rock star and he's single. So certainly he brings that perspective, which is...
That's kind of a perspective that's hard to relate to, I feel like.
Not for you, I would think. Well. You seem to have that single rock star type of personality.
Yeah. Is he single?
I don't know. That's the question. Let's jump into some Facebook questions. Let me divert
first Facebook
the attention
question.
Away
is
from
Dean
me.
Is Dean single? Oh, look at this.
This question is from Becca, and I want both of you guys to answer this as best you can. Do men still think about their first love, even when I'm in a happy relationship, in a committed relationship? Not in a I want them back way, just in a random nostalgic way. So question is, do either of you... Two married men, one with two kids, one with four kids, ever think about the first woman that you ever loved?
I would say yes. I mean, I think it's not like the question saying is you're not actually using that to take over your existing love that you're in or relationship that you're in, but you're not comparing by any means, but you're touching onto those feelings, you know? And so what was that experience like? And so you may be comparing it to what you're doing now or how that is. But I think as you go through life and the older you get, you sort of reflect back on certain stages of your life. You know, what was it like in high school? What was it like in college? What was it like right after college? And there may be three or four different people that you fell in love with or two or whatever. And I think it's okay to do that. Yeah, for sure.
100%. Yeah. I think you want to remember, especially that first one. I don't think you should sit there and peruse in your mind all your relationships or think back at them. But I think, as they pointed out, they mean, you know, not in a I want them back sort of way. I think you want to remember that special time and that special person. The person that, and they don't even say sexually. They just say the first love. So it's like the person that kicked off you having these grown-up feelings, I think that's something you definitely have to remember. One, just because it was a nice time in your life. But two, because, you, like Rick said, you want to grow from that.
Let me ask you this. So obviously you two are in love. You're married. Does the love that
with
you...
With our wives. Rick and I actually love each other as well.
Yes. I think you guys are in love respectively to your own wives. That's obviously what I meant to say there. Does the love that you have... Because I always equate love to like a feeling, right? So I was in love when I was 13... But I can be in love when I'm 28, and it's different love, but it feels the same way, like in my chest. You know, would you say that it's a similar feeling that you have that you get from it?
Yeah, I'd say it's similar, but it certainly is more advanced. And as you grow mentally, it's like the love is different. Like you probably cherish it more, and you're more aware of what it does for you, what that companionship does for you. Yeah. When you're young, you're like, oh yeah, I love this person, and you feel happy to be around them, and they make you feel happy emotionally, but as you get older, you're like, do you bring
is
toys
just breaking
with
things.
Yeah. No, you made some good points there, dude.
Well, I was away from my kids. He's sitting here playing, dropping stuff. And
the other thing I was going to add to that, Dimitri, was like, there's a lot more on the table right now, right? So you can't be 13 or 28 and be goo goo gaga in love with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, that you have kids that you're spreading that love to as well. You know, and there's friends and your wife. So I would say, Dean, the love is actually different. I mean, it's still a love, but it's a different feeling. And you can't always bring that back up. And you bring that back up in certain scenarios. So, like, your firstborn. You go out on dates, or you go on, like, a little, you know, take a vacation together. Like, those are things that I look back on, and those are the things that kind of bring back some of that loving feeling. Was that a song? Was that Gavin's song?
Not, it should
was
be.
It?
Jeez.
No, it wasn't Gavin's, but we'll give it to him.
Plugging it in.
And I think you're... Exactly right. And as you get older, life is tougher, man. Like, when you're young and you're like, I'm in love, we love whatever, going to a concert, going to the beach. But now it's like you have bills and you have responsibilities, and you need someone that can be your partner throughout that. And that's really the difference, because you have more of an appreciation for the love and support that they give to
evolved
you.
Evolved a little bit.
So you're both married, you're both in love, you're both happy. For our listeners who are experiencing heartbreak or who have never found love, can you say that you could fall in love more than once in your lifetime?
Sure. Of course.
I agree too.
I fell in love with a girl in the airport the other day. I just didn't get an opportunity to hang out with her.
No, Rick.
What a lucky
lady. Oh, sorry.
Nope. What a lucky lady.
Are we taping?
Can we unplug Rick's mic?
just because I didn't get an opportunity to go on five dates with her doesn't mean I didn't love
that's
her.
That's actually a funny segue into our next question.
Okay.
From Katie Lee. She wants to know, where can you find quality guys? Is it dating apps? Is it airports? Is it the gym?
I mean, listen, I found my boyfriend on Instagram.
On Instagram. Preferably guys that aren't married. You know? Yeah.
I honestly think the best case scenario, and this is, we met through a mutual friend. I think if you have somebody in common, you cut out a lot of steps.
Yeah.
So you already kind of vouch for the person, for both people. And so we met, she was working with somebody that started, sounds convoluted, but she was working with this girl that I went to college with who started dating a friend of mine. And then she was throwing a birthday party, and she said, hey, invite this guy that I'm dating and some of his friends, and I think you might like one of his friends. And she was like, oh, whatever, I'll set this party up. And that's how we met.
Okay. So you're saying the best way to meet someone is through mutual friends.
I think that's
the
best case scenario.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree.
I think that's the best case scenario, and I think Dimitri and I, our experience is a little bit dated, to be honest with you. You know, and I think nowadays, if you're 25, 28, 23, I think whether it's through Instagram or through the Tinder app or through – you know, some of those other apps that people use.
Yeah.
I think that's an okay way to meet somebody.
I totally agree.
And it definitely it kind of cuts to the chase in different aspects than having a common friend.
And if that doesn't work, try the deli counter at the grocery store.
Oh, that's always a good one.
That is, because you have a similar, you know, have a common thread in salted meats.
And see what they order.
And I think that goes.
Yeah, it really depends on what they order.
Oh, Petco also.
Petco. They have pets.
All right, Vanessa, next question.
Rainey. Why does a guy text you first, invite you to hang out, then leave you unopened for hours or days? I'm looking at someone specifically. When the planned time comes around to actually hang out, then they text you later and ask, when are we hanging out?
This one's going to hurt. He's not into you. He's not. He's looking for better options. When he texts you that first time, he's at a moment where he's like, oh, I kind of want to hook up, or I'm thinking about this person. He casts the line out. You bite right away. And he's like, all right, well, she's on the line. Let me see what else I can do. Let me see if there's other people out there. And then that part bypasses. And I'm not saying this is the right thing to do, but this is what's happening in that situation. That time bypasses. And then he's like, but I got it. I don't want her to be mad at me. Let me throw it out there. Hey, when are we hanging out?
I totally agree with Dimitri. Or it may not be that they're hanging out with another person. I think they're just looking for other things to do.
Yeah.
You know, in the meantime. Oh, yeah, I was going to go to the ball game with my friends, or I was going to go on a bike ride, or
you
know,
it could be one of those things, too, where you text someone to hang out when you're bored, and then you're not bored anymore, and you don't really want to hang out with them. You know, like the time to hang out with them comes around, you're like, actually, I'm not bored anymore.
Right. Bottom line is, you're not a priority to him, where he's like, I absolutely want to hang out with you, and I'm going to jump at the chance to hang out with you. That's
so, but you're also saying tell the girl not to be too easy, because the guys want to chase.
They do want to chase. But in this situation, if that happens, I think you move on to a different guy.
Next.
I don't think that's... Yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah.
All right, okay. Next question is from Megan. She wants to know, if a girl were to offer it up on the first date, would a guy always bite on the chance to sleep with her?
No, not always. I think we talked about this recently on How Men Think. I think, yeah, there's... And I think Rick's going to disagree with me, because he did that day as well. But I think... I think, yes, a guy obviously will want sex, but when it comes down to if he sees himself has a future with this person, he may be hesitant. He may not want to rush into it.
Why? Mm.
Because he doesn't want to – number one, as you said, we said just a few minutes ago, there's something about the chase. There's something about exploring that time and taking baby steps in a relationship.
I'm just going to interrupt you real quick. I'm sorry. Because I'm trying to think of my personal experiences here, and I've gone into dates before where I'm like, no matter what happens, I'm not giving it up. Nothing's going to change my mind. And I get into the zone, date's going well, it gets offered up, and 9 times out of 9, I'm not 9 times out of 10, I'm biting and I'm taking it.
And how many of those girls have you married?
Okay, it's a good point, but still.
He's only 28.
But that's the point. So, yeah, of course, you're doing that. But when you and don't get me wrong, I know people that went on a date, first date, had sex, and they're happily married with kids. It's possible.
Yeah.
But in some guys' minds, you don't. When you think about settling down and you think about somebody being the mother to your kids, you don't want to think, "Oh, she was just giving it up."
Yeah.
Power. If you have that special connection, great.
No,
but
I don't know if there are
opportunities. Totally disagree with you again, Dimitri.
This is a common
100%.
Theme.
Every show that Dimitri and I are both on, I disagree with everything he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, I disagree too. I mean, I'm coming from the perspective.
So basically, if you want to have sex, go out with Amy. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm coming from the perspective that if the date's going well and you're getting along with this girl and then you get to the certain point of the date, then and everyone's kind of ready to play, then let's go.
I agree with that,
too. That's kind of the point.
I feel like the older you get, you don't have to make excuses for the decisions that you make in that at that time.
That's true.
So if I want to, with, I'm not going to explain when or how my boyfriend and I, the first time we had sex, but
ooh, that's a good episode.
I mean, we're not going to get into that. But if he would have stopped talking to me, for me, that's not someone I want to be with, because I want to be with someone who respects my decisions. And if I'm making those decisions based off of what Vanessa wants to do, then that's the person I want to be with. Not because they're going to be judging me if, you know, I'm sure if, you know, I'm sure guys have slept around the first, and it comes down to like, what's it called? Like what guys are allowed to do versus what girls are allowed to do.
Yeah. No, would you be fine? So would you be fine if you knew that your boyfriend had sex on every first date he went on? Would that be, you're okay?
Yeah. Like,
you wouldn't think anything
as
different.
As long as like, he's using protection.
Right. Okay.
Let me say this. If a guy and a girl go on a date and they sleep together and that's enough of a reason for the guy to stop talking to the girl, then that guy is not a girl that's not a guy that the girl wants to date anyways.
Well, that's, you know, true, I mean? But I don't mean stop talking. I just think in that scenario of would you have sex every time it was offered up, I wouldn't. And when I was in college, there were times that I could have had sex, and I didn't because I didn't, one, I didn't, I knew I didn't feel that way about that girl, and I didn't want her thinking that I did. So, but granted, keep in mind, I've been married for 14 years, so times change.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, at Rick's and my age, if you can have sex, you have it.
With anybody.
No, again, Rick.
Or anywhere.
Who plugged his mic back in?
Okay, next question is from Ashley. Would you get engaged if you didn't have the money for a nice ring / the ring your fiance wanted? So let's say my boyfriend and I were getting married, and for me personally, I don't care. I was at Burke's yesterday, and I was shopping around, and the woman was like, "Oh, come look at the engagement rings." And I'm like, "How much is this?" Like $60,000. I'm like, $60,000
because it's called an engagement ring. You could find the same ring somewhere else. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, it's crazy that the guy has to spend that much money. I mean, of course it's pretty, but I think why not spend the money that, you know, spend the money on what you could afford and then save it on a house or save it for your children's education.
Well, that's exactly what I did. So I knew that I wanted to propose to my now wife. And at the time I said, we don't have endless amounts of money, but I knew I wanted to propose and I knew we were ready to get married. So I bought a ring that I could afford and I proposed. And then somewhere down the line when we were doing better in our lives and we had more money for an engagement, I surprised her and I took her and we took the stone from that original ring and she picked out a new band and we put that stone in. So it still has the original stone, but then she had a much nicer ring.
An upgrade.
Because you don't have enough money, you're going to put off getting married. I didn't see that as.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dimitri. And I also think that's something you can build upon. So like you have a diamond or you have a stone that you like, and then you can make a bigger, better one as soon as as you move on.
Yeah. So 3 months salary thing, is that still a thing? It's supposed to be 3 months pay.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Very old timey.
Oh,
we'd have to like get people to tell us if that's still a thing, because that is just super from.
Well, how much does a ring go for? Because when I heard $60,000,
that's high.
I think that was pre-eBay, Easton.
Yeah.
Now you can hook them up on Craigslist.
$20,000 ring is pretty common, but you could get a great ring for $5,000.
The trick is like with property, find someone that's going through a bad divorce and they're willing to sell it for cheap and just buy that one. If you don't care about car, like, you know, bad mojo or whatever, just do that.
Stop by like a Goodwill or something, maybe a thrift store.
There you go.
It's a good spot.
But
okay.
Don't you think it's the design and not necessarily the size of the stone?
Oh, yeah. Or,
yeah.
I saw this woman now that I'm like, I'm always looking at women's hands to see what their rings look like. So I'm trying to get an idea. And I saw this woman, the diamond wasn't big, but it was so original. It was like a teardrop or a pear shape with like little baguettes on the side. But the diamonds were very, very small, but it was so original and beautiful.
Yeah.
Some people are fine with just a diamond band. Like, it just depends who you are.
Yeah.
But that should not be a reason to not get engaged. Like, that is that bleep crazy.
Come listen, my engagement ring was big.
Neil Lane, thank you.
It was too big. It was too big for
me. Next question.
Tell me the truth.
You can't mouth answers on a podcast because we can't see what you're saying.
Maybe didn't love that ring.
Yes. I mean, it was too big for me.
Dean, you kind of, when she was describing the ring, you kind of shuddered for a second. When you heard baguettes, were you thinking carbs? Ooh, that's not, I don't
want
to.
Baguettes, that's right. I want baguettes on my ring for sure. Okay, Lisa wants to know if guys get insecure. She says, Do they ever feel like a girl might be too good for them, so that's why they won't approach a girl or swipe right on the app? What do you guys think?
I think so, too. Yeah. I think guys definitely get insecure.
They have like a weird inferiority complex, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here with you, Johnny Handsome. I mean, how do you not feel a little insecure?
Come on.
Do you guys not like it if a woman is more successful than them?
I personally love it. So what's funny, actually, is this girl that I dated a little bit last year for some time is a very, very successful commercial real estate agent. And she says, and she's a beautiful girl, and she says she goes on dates frequently, right? And she would meet all these guys, and she like makes like five times as much money as they do, and all of them would like shy away from her for it. But I was like, that's like literally one of the sexiest things you could possibly tell me. Like, that's so sick that you're like a determined, successful, like driven person. Obviously, I heard a lot of guys are getting insecure by her telling them that.
My wife is the CEO of a company, of a big company.
Wow. And
to me, that's...
That's hot.
I think that's hot. And I don't want her being like, oh, how was work? Like, she is brilliant. She went to business school, and I think that's a turn on, and I have zero insecurities about that.
Because if they're putting that much effort into their work, they know what it takes to have something successful, so that can translate into a marriage as well.
And she knows how difficult it is to be a co-host of a podcast, then.
It is very challenging at times.
Rick, what do you think?
I don't get insecure about that, no. I think it's actually a huge accomplishment if the woman... or the significant other actually is very successful. Yeah. I think it's a turn on. I mean, why would you want to have or feel insecure about somebody that's working their own tail off?
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And in general, I mean, when we did our podcast from Tahoe, Rick did it in a Speedo. So he doesn't get insecure
that's
about
hilarious.
Many things.
that comes with a lot of, I don't know exactly what it is, but.
Yeah. Well, no, I do because I saw him.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's impressive.
Yeah, well.
It comes with a lot of practice. I don't know. All right, so we have one final segment. And Rick, obviously, with your blessing, we want to get Peter on the podcast.
So Peter's your son.
Yes.
Extremely handsome.
Thank you.
He's in grade?
Eighth
grade.
So Peter and I, and well, I guess all of us met Peter on the elevator. And I swear, I was like, this kid's like 18. He must be a senior in high school or something like that. He shakes my hand. He literally folds my hand in half because he's got the strongest grip I've ever seen. Blown away by this kid. When I was 13 years old, I was like the biggest loser in the world. And this kid has something that just no other kid has. So we're going to talk to him a little bit and see what dating as a 13-year-old in eighth grade is like nowadays for
us. I actually thought he was a child actor when in the elevator. I was like, oh, what movie are you in?
Yeah, he's so good looking. So people who do know about the Bachelor franchise, he looks like a mini Robert Graham.
Yes, that's what you said. I
could definitely see it. It's the nose, it's the lips.
Peter, do you want to
say
hi?
Very good looking.
Hi.
Thanks for saying that. So Peter was pulled from class early today. He was taking a history test, but we pulled him out to bring him to this podcast. Peter, what is it like for you to be dating as an eighth grader?
It's very awkward.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
You do? Rick, did you know about this?
What? How many girlfriends?
I did know about this.
One. Yes. One. I like that answer.
Why is it weird to date as an eighth grader?
Because like everybody's going through puberty, and it's you can be at different stages.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So how did you and your girlfriend meet?
School.
And how long have you been dating for?
You have to talk into the mic.
2 years.
Oh, wow.
That's a long relationship.
That is a
You've been
long.
Dating for 2 years?
I've only known for a year.
Yeah. And have you guys kissed each other yet?
No.
Okay. Playing it slow. I respect that a lot. Rick, how old were you when you had your first kiss?
I was in first grade.
Get out of here.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie, he said.
Swear to God. It was weird. Now looking back on it, I was in first grade. Nikki Webb.
Early bloomer.
Wow, you remember her name too.
Does Peter ever come to you for advice?
Not now.
No,
not anymore.
Maybe in the future.
No, yeah, I think in the future we'll talk. We'll have the sit down. But I mean, most of the advice that he's going through, he talks to his mother about, in terms of the girlfriends and stuff.
What is it like with the relationship? Do you guys text each other? Do you talk on the phone? Is it you only see each other at school?
We text each other in school.
Okay.
And at school, yeah.
So there's not a lot of FaceTime going on or hanging out
not
in person.
Really. Well, one time we FaceTime and we fell asleep on the FaceTime. Then my mom got super mad at me.
Oh, wow.
That's really romantic, though.
That is so cute.
Falling asleep on FaceTime, I think that's cool.
I used to do that, not FaceTime, but I used to do that over the phone all the time.
Why was she upset?
Because I woke up at 12.
Oh.
And they were also, they didn't have a minute.
The data was all used up. That's right. So what is it about this girl that you like a lot?
Personality.
Yeah? You guys have a lot in common?
Yeah.
Like what exactly? Like sport? You guys like
sports?
We're
both very allergic to bees.
Oh, that's...
Okay.
Simpler times. Dimitri, you were saying it, man. Simpler, the older you get, the more it takes. But
yeah,
when you're in eighth grade, all it takes is a bee allergy.
Listen, you want to avoid bees? Me too.
Let's go hang out together.
Yeah. Not near honey.
Are you? Do you see it lasting until you guys go to high school or through high school and all that kind of stuff?
Is maybe. This,
do you think she's the one?
I don't know. These were only 13 years old.
The one.
Yeah.
The one.
The
Look
one
at you.
13.
You don't ask somebody at that age about the one. We should be asking you.
I'm just trying to get to know him and his girlfriend a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
But so you don't know yet. That's
no.
At the end of the day.
No.
When are you going to kiss her? Do you have any plans to kiss her?
I feel like it has to come in the moment.
Yeah.
So how does someone at you're 13?
Mm-hmm.
How does a 13-year-old decide this is my girlfriend? Like, what Ooh, makes it your girlfriend?
We just talk about it. Like, I think it's through time.
Okay.
Just get to know the person.
So you guys were talking about it for a while, and then eventually you were like, let's just be boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so if she was, like, talking to another boy, you'd get probably pretty jealous then, yeah?
Not really.
No?
Oh, that's, I like the confidence.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't know where he gets it from, but... all right. Well, hey, Peter, thanks for sharing about the relationship.
Yep.
We wish you nothing but the best. Obviously, I guess it's a little too early, apparently, to be asking her if she's the one. Asking
well, listen, well,
I
2 years.
I think for sure, like, because do you know what it takes? Do you know when you know the one?
Yes.
You do?
No, Whoa. I don't know.
Oh, but that's my point. He's 13. Like, he shouldn't even be thinking
yeah.
that.
Okay. But yeah, okay.
Peter reveal, are they Insta official? Isn't
good
that
question.
The
oh, yeah.
determiner? Are you Insta official?
What?
Have you posted
it
a
means,
picture?
Did you post her picture on your Instagram?
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
What preliminary stages.
What are you waiting for?
Well, I don't know. Is that a true thing? Like, are you actually officially dating when somebody posts the picture of the other person that you're dating?
Then you'd get bullied.
Oh.
Then you get bullied.
No. Why would you get bullied?
I don't know.
Because you're being too romantic?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's 8th grade.
And what?
And it's 8th grade.
And it's 8th grade.
Maybe wait till high school for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listen, Peter, when you want to know more about girls... I know you want to ask your dad. Just listen to the How Men Think podcast instead.
He doesn't allow me to.
But at the because you're not ready yet. But when it's time, I would rather you have, you know, balancing, you know, thoughts as opposed to just hearing. Because I know what your dad thinks about stuff. It's okay. Listen to the group.
Okay.
Or maybe listen to Help I Suck at Dating, too, in conjunction with
yes,
How
exactly.
Men Think.
Both.
You can get you get a good dichotomy there. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up because we are going to go watch this baseball game. Thank you guys for joining us on this
Dean,
episode.
Are you ready for your big moment?
Yes. I'm actually singing the national anthem tonight. But for some weird reason, they're letting me do that. I don't know why.
Are you really?
No, I'm just bringing the ball out to the pitcher. I don't know
it's
exactly
not
what's
just
going
bringing
on.
The ball. That's pretty. That's a big deal.
Are you throwing the pitch in
that's
or you're
awesome.
Bringing the ball out?
I think I'm bringing the ball out. I did throw the first pitch out at the Angels game, actually, a couple months ago, which is pretty cool.
Did you throw a strike?
Right down the middle.
Nice.
I hadn't thrown baseball in like a decade, and I didn't practice at all. I threw it right down the
That's perfect.
Right down the pipe.
Which is better than most of the Angels pitchers are doing right now.
Yeah, apparently. Big thank you to Hotel Via for hosting us. Hotel Via is a new boutique hotel in San Fran's most dynamic neighborhood. The rooftop at Via Hotel is Via's 3,000-square-foot rooftop lounge that delivers some of the most stunning and dramatic scenery in San Francisco. Located across the street from the iconic Oracle Park, the most beautiful ballpark in America, and a half mile from the state-of-the-art Chase Center, Hotel Via is at the epicenter of the best.
It is a beautiful hotel. And I actually had the food. I dined already, so the food's amazing. Their croissants are great. Their salads are amazing. So big thank you to
Dimitri and Rick.
Dimitri and Rick. Make sure to check out their podcast.
How Men Think. It's on iHeartRadio. And you guys are killing it, right? I remember your first episode was like the number one rated episode of all or something like ever.
I mean, what are numbers?
Well, you guys are hilarious. I mean,
well, thanks for having us on.
Humble,
yeah, no.
Thank you.
SOB, you know that? What's a number? Oh, the most listened to podcast in history? Ah, it's just a
no,
number.
I always kind of reflect on it a little bit. I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm at a stage in my life where like I don't really give a
yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, I'm willing to share
that's the trick, then.
Stories, how I feel, and I think that's kind of the whole point of the show,
as
you know, how men think.
As long as you're having fun doing it, that's
yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Big thank you to Annalise Puccini as well for joining us. And we will talk to you next week. We'll give you some Paradise updates.
Hopefully we'll all be together next week.
I think we might be. Well, you'll probably be from Montreal.
From my bedroom,
but
yeah.
Anyways, be sure to tune in next week where maybe we will suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.